the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Well, it is time to look back on the week's trending stories, and I'm joined here in studio by Sarah McGuinness, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail, and Cathal O'Sullivan, assistant producer at 98FM. It's great to see both of you. I have to say, I've been trying to avoid this story all week, mostly out of absolute jealousy, but we have to talk about the person who has won an incredible 250 million euro on the lotto, and we now know it's in Cork, of course. Where's Matt this week?
I know.
The real capital.
Suspicious that Matt Cooper is not here.
That's interesting.
Maybe Matt's won the lotto.
In Cork, in a Centra shop, we're getting closer. The person has made contact. As I said, look, I'm out of jealousy avoiding it, but the nation needs to know this.
Oh my God. I'd say Shandon Street in Cork City Centre is alive with speculation. I am so nosy, and I have no ties to that area as to who the hell bought that winning lotto ticket in Clifford Centra. Like, listening to Morning Ireland, the shop owner, Ted Clifford, was speaking about the win, and it just sounded like they were having the best crack ever.
Well, he's getting 25 grand now.
Good for him. But it seems like Italia 90 down there. It is absolutely brilliant. Imagine how overwhelming that would be. They finally came forward yesterday. Now they have 90 days to claim the prize, so I'm sure there is kind of a lot of
what the hell. It's concerning at home, and they're figuring out how they're going to spend it. But like, you think back, like, I don't know, Jesus, the year, but it was 2005, so I was only 7 when Dolores McNamara won the last time the Euro Millions was won in Ireland. But like, the person who's won is obviously sat at home and probably under a lot of stress.
This is more than life changing, because a few million euro changes your life forever. This is way beyond that.
Yeah, absolutely. But you see this party, like Sarah mentioned, going on in Cork, and the person is probably at home being like, geez, I'd love to have my own party, but like, if I come forward and then I mention my name, the whole of Cork will probably know someone who knows them. And then, lo and behold, they're kind of this celebrity figure like Dolores McNamara.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'd say it's like a hugely pivotal, like...
Are we at a point where there are cases where some people who win these jackpots, and we've seen it in the UK in particular, where their lives have not just been changed, but they have gone downhill since. And sometimes, and look, I'm a business journalist for the day job, but maybe there is too much money for one person.
Oh, yeah. God, not for me. No.
I don't know about you, but hand it over.
Yeah, I'll share it around. But also, on the plus side of this, we don't know who the family is, like I'm sure we'll be talking about later, but the cost of living and everything, this could have remarkable impacts on the whole generations of their family to come. You know, so many people struggling to afford houses, worried about what the ramifications will be for their children, their grandchildren. This is going to ultimately change the life of a huge family, and potentially me and Colin.
Yeah, I would be on a one-way flight to Lanzarote and
figure it out while you're in Lanzarote.
Yeah,
no
absolutely.
Problem.
You'll figure it out there.
Good for them and good for Clifford's, because it's actually a small family business, as we heard this morning.
As I said,
fantastic.
As you said, it's going to change entire generations of a life, and let's hope that they do very much enjoy it. I'll put aside my jealousy. Well, one thing they're never going to have to worry about, and it was in our first item there with Charlie Weston, is they won't have to worry about the price of a pint going up, because, Cathal, we were talking about overall prices in Ireland are so much more expensive in Europe, but when it comes to having a pint, 205% more expensive.
Yeah, I saw the figure earlier, and I was hearing Charlie earlier talk about it, and like, it doesn't pass me by that the fact, like, if I was to leave the studio here tonight and head to a pub in the city centre, I'm paying upwards of 7 euro, and like, that's on the cheap end of the scale. And it confused me that you can go to another like capital city in Europe and pay the likes of 2 euro for a local beer. It's just Ireland, and you talk to tourists. I was in a taxi yesterday talking to a woman who's moved here 25 years ago from Romania, and she was saying Ireland has just become so expensive. But it's one thing to, I suppose, like things like gas and electricity, that all goes up. But the ordinary man's pint, we're attacking this. Like, it's crazy. I go home to Portlaoise quite a lot, and you're paying in and around 5.50, which is dear for Portlaoise. The whole country is on the way up.
It is kind of insane. Like, it's a cost of fun crisis and people are suffering. But on a more serious note, there are things like wages, and as Dara Cassidy has pointed out, there are things like wages and state subsidies, and ultimately the cost of business, which is within the control of legislators, because all of that pays part of it. Like, say if you go to Spain, an area of Spain, and or Portugal is a good example, you might be paying £3 for a pint, but if you were working in that bar, you might only be earning a fiver per hour. So it kind of balances out in that.
Would you ever walk away if a barman says, well, the price of a pint or the price of a glass of wine is this price at this hour today, or at 11 o'clock we're going to charge you more? Would you walk away?
Surge pricing, just get a couple of cans and sit in a park, if the weather's nice.
You think about that as well, and you think about Ireland, and you look to all these countries, and there's no minimum unit pricing either. Like, the price of a can in a shop is going up, notwithstanding the deposit return scheme, and I know you can get that back, but it's just, to me, as a 26-year-old living in Dublin, everything is so expensive. You're looking at this weekend in Dublin, Zach Bryan is playing, or next weekend, say, Zach Bryan, you've got Pride, you've got Justin Timberlake, you've got loads of other gigs on, not to mention 4 All-Ireland quarterfinals, and the price of a hotel is upwards of €350 for one night. Like, this hotel tax that Micheál Martin is talking about as well. Like, it's just like Ireland is becoming a place where it's just naturally, okay, we're going to agree that we're expensive to live in.
Yeah, let's bring on that story. Micheál Martin was talking about this idea that to pay for all the big renovations that are coming to Dublin city centre, that was in this task force that was carried out last year, that he would agree with Dublin City Council having a small tax on hotel rooms. We do know there's an effort, Sarah, to bring in a tax on Airbnbs around the country. Is it actually not a bad idea to put a tax on hotels if you want nicer things generally around the city?
Well, there are pluses to it and minus, like, negatives, obviously, as well. Like, the tax that is being talked about here is a 5% charge. So essentially, if you're paying £100 for a hotel room, you pay €105. And it is very commonplace across other European countries. I was in Barcelona last week there, and when we went to pay for the hostel, they said, like, oh, everyone, and here is your tax. And it wasn't a huge deal. But I suppose the kind of principle of it is, from the hotel industry, is that so many hospitality businesses are going out, like, are going bust. People are already complaining about our prices. You know, someone coming here and being told, oh, but this is really going to help Dublin City, is like not a very convincing argument for them. And we could ultimately, end up suffering. But also on the flip side, if 25,000 people pay this 5% charge, that could raise revenues of €110 million, which could be pumped in to actual recommendations from the Dublin City Task Force, which is just another report that is lying idle on the shelves in government buildings in terms of actually
making
Dublin.
But which would bring better services to Dublin that everybody could enjoy, so that you don't have to sit in maybe a pub or a bar or for a restaurant for an evening?
I suppose so. If this is being brought in, it will have to be... When I was reading this, I was kind of like, yes, we could do this, but if we're going to do this in the fashion of the government, in terms of any time we get in money and we try to make everyone happy and we spread it so thin, then what the hell is the point? Whereas if they actually say we're going to raise this and we are putting it into Nightlink services so that people who are in town can get in and out and therefore save money on taxis, or if they say we're going to get all this money and we are going to put it into having more guards on the streets of Dublin, giving them more wages for their overtime or whatever. I just don't think that people are going to buy into it now. But ultimately, like, for the greater good, yes, sounds brilliant. If it's a fiver on top of my hotel bill, count me in. I spend money on much sillier things, you know?
You and me both.
Yeah. Carl, this is what I asked you. You talked out there about how everything's going up, for prices are going up for young people. But surely you're saving money by having dodgy boxes and not paying for your Sky subscription.
I don't know if it's Julian, but I can't say I have one. But it's definitely commonplace amongst, like, people I talk to and things like that. But, like, I know we have Sky at home in my family home, like my parents' house. And you look to, like, the things that are on the telly, and it's the same thing every evening, repeat, and you have to just wonder, are people, like, saving a little bit of money by cancelling the Sky and going to the dodgy boxes? And you have this thing out from Sky saying that they're going to be using private investigators, going into WhatsApp chats and things like that to look at, like, who's selling these. But, like, the people that are selling these are often in Northern Ireland, they're in the UK, and they're being shipped over here, and oftentimes...
But why are so many people using them and knowing, and you say there, oh, there's nothing on the telly, that's not Sky's problem.
They know that they're not going to get a slap on the wrist. It's the person who are, like, supplying the dodgy boxes or the Amazon Fire
Sticks. Aren't you just as bad? Aren't people just as bad for using them?
I know that's an, like a Valid argument, but I suppose the people who are supplying them are the ones technically like that are really breaking the law, but we are also breaking the law if you use them. But you have to, I suppose, use a little bit of, geez, you'd let the, like, I'd let them off personally. Like, if someone's using a dodgy box, none of my business.
Sarah, we are all in this room in the content supply business, ultimately. I know we're in broadcasting and print journalism, and we're all meant to be more noble aims as journalists, but we're in the content supply business. We would hate it if people were stealing our content. So wherefore, why are people not paying?
I think it's because they don't have to. The option is there to get something cheap and broad. And like, don't get me wrong. Yes, I'm really happy that people buy newspapers and pay my wages.
Absolutely.
But I also do stream movies online. Like, it's just the world that we're living in. There are corners cut everywhere. There are loopholes cut everywhere. Ultimately, I don't think businesses like Sky are going out of business because of dodgy boxes.
Yeah.
You know, a Sunday Independent poll estimated that 1 in 5 people across the country are using them. That probably checks out. But also Sky, Virgin Media, they are all still highly lucrative businesses with, you know, on a global scale. I'm not really too worried about Sky in this instance, you know?
You go into like, but like, you go into places like establishments, hospitality business, bars, and you sometimes, if they have to flick through a channel, you'll notice that they could be using.
And you
one
should
of these
be
services.
Walking out. Listen, we have to take a break there. But
you're walking out of the prices, HRO.
Well, actually, just before we take the break, I just want to bring in one text from one of our listeners, 087-4100-102. Going back to the price of a pint, how long do people expect the price of a pint to stay at €5? It's been like that for years. It has to go up eventually. I don't think it's been at €5 in this country for a long, long time. Well, Sarah McGuinness and Cathal O'Sullivan are still with us for the week's trending stories. And people who have been trending across social media for most of the week, Sarah, are kneecap, which I suppose is no surprise given that they've been in two very different venues this week. One in Fairview Park last night playing a gig, but also earlier on this week, Limoge O'Haney, better known as Mo Cara, in front of Westminster Magistrates Court in connection with charges.
Yeah, a really fascinating week for kneecap and a fascinating week to come as well. This is honestly probably the best promotion they could have asked for playing Glastonbury next weekend, if that does go ahead. But generating headlines across the globe, as they have been really since April, at that kind of landmark Coachella performance where they condemned Israel, and what really sparked this whole kind of investigation into kneecap's political belief and how they express them. So as you mentioned there, in Limoge O'Haney, also known as Mo Cara, was in Westminster Magistrate Court this week, and hundreds. Now, I saw an estimate of about 200 people gathered outside. I'd say it was more. I'd say it had to be closer to 500. People flew from Ireland over to London just to show their support. Numerous high-profile people there, Jim Sheridan, the filmmaker, lots of musicians, and really just this kind of quite electric atmosphere as kneecap and their powerhouse of a legal team, it has to be said, walked into the court. The court ended up running about an hour late just between all the kind of hullabaloo of getting in and getting through the crowds. And for anyone who's seen the kneecap movie, this is such an example of life imitating art, because firstly, when they got into the court, there has been a lot of criticism in the British media about them anglicising Limoge O'Haney's name, because they have just been spelling it O-H-A-N-N-A. And everyone's kind of been saying that's not how he spells his name. Yeah. Like, the least you can do is actually get it right, I suppose. So the court, so the judge asked him how he would like to be referred to, as did the prosecutor. And they said that they had been looking for an Irish translator or an Irish interpreter for him. And there is a whole argument going on in the North right now about the right to Irish language in public services. So that was kind of ironic that was happening. But anyone who's seen the kneecap movie knows that in terms of how the trio came together and how they portray that coming together, is that that DJ Provy, one of the other members of the act, met the two other boys by coming in when one of them was arrested and acting as their Irish interpreter. So really, you almost couldn't write it. And nothing ended up happening because there is still this whole question of whether there is a case to be taken against Limoge O'Haney, which is a whole other story. Basically, their defence is arguing that he's not going to plead in any which way because there shouldn't be a case against him. This event happened on November 21st of 2024. He was arrested, or he was charged on May 22nd, 2025. They were one day outside of the statutory six-month window. There is so much to this, but ultimately it culminated in this amazing, what looked like an amazing gig in Fairview Park yesterday. I live near Fairview, so I was actually just sitting in the park watching everyone go by. Yeah. I have never seen so many tricolour balaclavas in my life. It was insane. It was
a sea of green.
You know, any tourists, or like if an alien from Mars came down to Earth and was, they'd be like, why the hell are all those people wearing those hats?
Because in the middle of a mini heat wave. Yeah. Let's actually have a listen to Macara greeted by cheers at Fairview Park last night. A year ago, would that park have been filled to capacity as it was last night?
I think, like Sarah mentioned, the rise of kneecap in the past year has been second to none, and like the release of the kneecap movie last year and the success of it has really helped them take off. But notwithstanding, I suppose, certain people in Ireland's political beliefs and their support of kneecap alongside their political beliefs. But it was just like the amount of people out there, not only to support them with their political beliefs, but their music and everything like that. And we mentioned Irish language. And it's just, I suppose, this rise in this whole like movement of Irish language that also kind of coincides with their, I suppose, their political beliefs. But it was mental to see like the crowd chanting Free Macara, Free, Free Macara. And he also said unconditional bail has never looked so good. And it was a culture shock or culture change from the magistrate's court. So he is leaning definitely into this. He's released on unconditional bail until August 20th when the next hearing will take place. So it'll be interesting to see what happens then in London.
Yep. Let's move on to something probably more in your sphere of daily work, Sarah, which is, does anybody actually want to be the President of Ireland at this stage?
By the looks of it, absolutely no one, which is...
But more people are ruling themselves out. Normally people just say, well, I'm considering, who knows, over the
maybe
summer.
Kneecap.
But people started that way because I remember kind of, it was over the Christmas period and I think every political journalist in the country was kind of like, okay, well, we've just had an election. There's no government, like nothing's happening. Sure, we'll just do a couple of ring arounds on the presidential election. And at that point, people were kind of like, you know, like Francis Fitzgerald, Sean Canny, saying, oh, I'd be honoured if I was approached. And clearly there must be people being approached because they're coming quite quickly out now saying, oh, no, I actually don't want to do it. Like, I don't want to do it at all. And I mean, who can blame them? There was this brilliant piece in the Irish Times this week by Cathy Sheridan, and she basically just outlines how much of a bloodbath the campaign is to become the President of Ireland. And it's ultimately, I suppose, not like it's never the person you think it's going to be, because the person you think it's going to be is going to be, like, their name is going to be dragged through the mud, and every single bad thing that they did in their life is going to be put out there in a debate, on an RTE debate, and they'll never show their face again. And we were actually talking about it. I was talking to a politician the other day, and I was kind of saying, it was actually a Sinn Féin politician, and there is this whole discourse of whether they are going to run someone or not at the moment, because, you know, it would kind of be an opportune time for them. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael kind of seem to be floundering for someone with the kind of wide appeal that could replace
what
Michael D. Higgins.
Yeah, what is it about? Because Cathal, Michael D. was never actually the favourite, even though he's become very, very popular with people, particularly after the last election. But what is it about the massive house in the Phoenix Park, the quarter of a million salary, and the ability now to pretty much say what you want, even though the Constitution sets down very strict limits on what the President can say?
Yeah, it's a very interesting one, because, like, I suppose, like you mentioned, Michael D. Higgins, like, has become this figure in Ireland that people look to and are almost like, okay, he's like just kind of this noble president who we can all like kind of like be positive towards. He doesn't kind of step a foot out of line, I suppose, really. But I don't know. I suppose when it comes to the kind of current political sphere, I suppose, is it becoming more of a place where, like, Michael D. Higgins is a little bit outspoken when it comes to certain things, and certain people who are putting their name forward that I won't necessarily mention, but I'm sure people would know of who I'm talking of, they are outspoken, and they're saying, I suppose, some people are saying, is it a place where now the president is going to be able to say these things without getting...
Do people want a more... Do younger people want a more... And I'll say this because Sarah won't. A more interesting and not a boring person like some of the names who may have been mentioned with this post.
I don't know if they wanted interest. Like, we've seen like figures from like broadcasting and stuff being mentioned. And I don't think younger people want to see someone like that. I think younger people want, I suppose, more of a role model as well. But like we've mentioned boring names and stuff like that. And it's just interesting to see, like we say, there's nobody that seems to want.
Is this a problem the parties are coming up with? Is there's plenty of people who have a political track record and have done very good work as ministers or in Europe or within the party, but there might be nobody whose name is going to attract the wider attention or the attract the interest that way Michael D has over the last number of years.
I think, yeah. And like, I suppose just to kind of come back to your point on the interesting factor, I mean, you know, Mary Robinson, Mary McAleese and Michael D Higgins, they are all very dynamic people and they have done well because of them in the roles and are actually very popular among younger cohorts. But ultimately, I think, yeah, there is that kind of struggle. But I also think that Michael D Higgins was elected in 2011 and the life of a politician in 2011 is vastly different to the way it is now. I don't think that politicians in 2011 had to deal with the same degree of visceral hatred that you would have had to in 2011. You know, like it's, and social media has played such a huge part of that. But I think a lot of politicians are probably feeling there is no price high enough to be that degree of public property. If you are president of this country, people feel a right of ownership over you. And that is a very difficult life in many respects. Of course, you get your big house. Of course, you get your big pay packet. But you are also under constant a microscope the whole time. Michael D. Higgins is lucky that, you know, that he is who he is and everyone kind of seems to like him. And sure, like, you know, he came in at a time before social media was, you know, really, really huge. So he somehow hasn't found himself the victim of that. But the likes of Micheál Martin, people are saying, why wouldn't Micheál Martin go for it? Because Micheál, like, it would essentially be just locking in for the same thing as what he has now.
Can I move on to something else? And somebody who was in the news 2 years ago, actually, this month, would have been Ryan Tuberty. And it appears that his happy occasion where his engagement might have been given away quicker than he wanted to have announced it, Cathal.
Yeah, so a few surprises in life like this. But Ryan Tuberty announced yesterday on his radio station that he was, or on his radio show, that he was engaged. But it wasn't, I suppose, a surprise to some who had seen a social media post from a Galway jeweller who had said that Ryan had entered his store with his partner then, Claire Campbell-Metu, the former Rose of Tralee, and had purchased a special ring that he needed for a very special lady. Now, the post was subsequently taken down after people did start getting in touch with Ryan and get in touch with the shop. Media outlets saying, oh my God, has Ryan Tuberty proposed? And he did yesterday announce it, but it's one of those special moments in life that you kind of are keeping, and maybe Ryan hadn't told particular people in his
life. I'm presuming it didn't come as a surprise, Sarah, to his now future wife.
Well, I hope not, but like, good God, this is like the best example of like foot and mouth ever. Like, I'm assuming that it hasn't, you know, like clearly he's not letting it get in the way of the quite joyous announcement for him and for his now fiance. But yeah, I suppose like it just goes to show that you can't get away with anything around here. Like that, like we were saying about the Euro Millions winner, yeah. Like you cannot get away with a single thing.
It's so typically Irish that the jeweller posted it, and it was with Claire and Ryan in the shop, so it was like they were all there for us. So she was well aware.
And I'm assuming it was a lovely ring, and we wish Ryan and his fiancée all the happiest years ahead. Cathal Sullivan and Sarah McGuinness, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.